But I do appreciate the offer tonight to be here. I don't take it lightly to get into Pastor Ennis's pulpit. It's an honor to be here. If you would, find in your Bibles, Psalm 23. As you know, I was here a while back. If you don't know us, I used to serve here with Pastor Ennis, and Brother Keith, and the likes of most of y'all that are here. About a little over a year ago, our son Robert was in a wreck, in a bad wreck, and was in a coma for almost 3 months. Was told he wasn't going to make it, was told twice by the doctor that they could pull the plug for us. That's what we so soon felt like it should be done. Of course, we said no to that. And God's been good. God has brought him a long way. He's got one surgery left to do, maybe two. We're trying to get things done, so he don't have to, but just one surgery done. But he understands everything. If you talk to him, he's not deaf, by the way. I have to say all the people because they come up and they talk to him real loud. He's like, I can hear you. He can understand everything you're saying. If he can't, he'll ask for more information. But he has what's called aphasia. He can't get the words out to talk to you. He can get some words out, and he gets more words out every day, but he's in a transition trying to get more of the words out. So be patient with him. He will talk to you if you want to talk to him. Other than that, but going through that, of course, we go to Psalm 23, right? A psalm of comfort. And while I was in Psalm 23, the Lord showed me something about Psalm 23 I think that we miss. And if you found it, I want you to stand with me as we read God's Word tonight. Just six short verses. I know you know it. You can probably quote it, but if you would, just let me read this to you and read along with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we do thank You for this psalm of comfort. We do thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for this opportunity to stand before Your people and proclaim Your truth. I pray, Lord, tonight that this word will be a word of encouragement to those who need it, and Lord, and maybe tonight be a time for someone to come forward and to know You as Savior. We do thank You for the souls saved this morning. We pray Your hand upon them. For it's in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I will do my best not to keep you here very long. Y'all don't have a clock, so I'm going to try to go with a mental clock. I'm not too good with that, but I'll try to do my best. But I will say this. I won't be like a lot of preachers. A lot of preachers can get the airplane off the ground. They won't bring it down. I will promise you to get lift off and bring you back to land. So if you'll follow me tonight, I hope that you will. But this is one of the most quoted chapters in all the Bible. At funerals especially, people know this. People who don't go to church know this. People who aren't saved know this. People that have never entered a church can basically quote part of this chapter because they've heard it. They've read it. They've seen it somewhere. They've been to enough funerals to hear it. But I believe we miss what God is saying to us in this short little psalm. Charles Spurgeon said, "It has been said that what the nightingale is among birds, that is this ode among the psalms. For it has sung sweetly in the ear of many a mourner in his night of weeping, and has bidden him hope for a morning of joy." You see, God wants us to know that He is by our side, folks. At all times, God is with us. There's never a time when God isn't with us or that we aren't with Him. If we are one of His children, we are always with Him. And God, He has made it possible for us to have a daily experience with Him, to be able to walk daily with Him. Lots of times we get saved, I think that we forget that God is always with us. You say, "Well, why do you say that, preacher?" Because how many of us do right all the time? How many of us always watching the right thing, listening to the right thing, talking about the right stuff? See, whatever you do, wherever you're at, God is right there with you when you're born again. All right? There's this man and woman, they were visiting their son-in-law and their daughter, and they had something on TV that was pretty provocative. This man and woman were kissing in the scene, and the father-in-law said to his son-in-law, "I know this is your house, but should we be watching this?" And his son-in-law said, "You're right, this is my house." So the father-in-law thought about it for a moment, and he said, "Let me ask you a question. If this man and woman were in your house with us today, and they were sitting on the couch and they were doing that, what would you do?" He said, "I would tell them to leave." He said, "Well, they're right here." They're right here. You see, God has made it possible for us to experience a daily walk with Him. My question is, have you experienced, or are you experiencing God in the way that God wants you to experience Him? Many times we don't. We miss out on what God has for us. I want you to look at me with me at four things that we see in this psalm, how we experience God's presence, how we can know that we've been with God. And the first time we experience His presence, folks, is at salvation. It says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You see, it is when His Spirit convicts our souls and calls us out to Him, that is our first experience with God. When God lays that conviction upon our hearts, and we accept what He is saying to us as being right, and we come forward as these three did this morning, and they say, "Lord, You're right, I'm wrong," and they receive Christ as Savior. That's our real first experience with God. At salvation, God is present, He is personal, and He is powerful, folks. God is there. But we see, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He is the shepherd that saves. That's one thing I see in this verse. He is the shepherd that saves. Who is the shepherd? The Lord. The Lord is the shepherd. That is who it is. "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." He is our shepherd. Jesus Christ is God. He is our shepherd. He is not Buddha. Praise God. He's not Buddha. He's not Mohammed. Right? He's not that elephant with all the arms, right, that you see. You know, He's not that. He is God. He is the Creator. Everything you see is because of Him. Pastor Ennis said tonight in the prayer over the offering that it's all His. We're just stewards of it and giving it back to Him. You know, everything you see, everything you've ever touched, everything you ever smelled is because God has put things here so that we can have these things. You say, "Well, man has made my car." God made the materials for the man to make the car. You see, everything we have is because of God. He is the Creator God. He is the Sustainer God. If you're breathing tonight, raise your hand. Praise God. God's giving you the ability to breathe another breath. That's who He is. He's sustaining you. He is bringing you through. He is providing for you. But He is also the Redeemer God. He saves us. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He has the power, folks. He has the power to be our shepherd. He has the right to be our shepherd because of what Jesus Christ, His Son, did. You see, Jesus Christ left heaven. He didn't have to. You ever thought about that? Jesus could have said, "Not me, I'm not going to go." But Jesus came to this earth through the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect sinless life, only to go to a cross for a criminal, to be nailed there, to die there, and 3 days later rise again. And because Jesus Christ did that for us, He has all right and all authority to be our Lord. You see, we have this idea today that we want Jesus Christ to be our Savior, but we don't want the Lord part. See, He has to be our Lord. We have to follow His commands. We have to go His way. We can't come to Christ and expect our lives to be the same as they once were, and that He doesn't have to be a part of our life. When we come to Him, when we give ourselves to Him, He becomes our Lord. And we have to follow Him. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So we see first off that He is the shepherd who saves. But we see in the second part of that verse, He is also the shepherd who supplies. "I shall not want." Now that covers a lot. That covers a lot. But you know what? When you see this verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," what pops out to me is that He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd, folks. You say, "Well, He's mine too," but yeah, but He's mine first. You can say what you want, but He's mine first. What joy there is knowing that Jesus Christ is mine and I am His. You see, that's what this psalm's about. It's not just about being at a funeral. It's not about being down. It's about understanding that God is on His throne, that He is our Lord, He is our shepherd, we are His and He is ours. We need to go to Him and call out to Him and seek His face. He supplies to us personally. "I shall not want." I look around this room, I don't see too many people in want. You go to certain parts of this world, you'll find people in want, folks. You go to certain parts of North Carolina, you'll find people in want. But His children never want. We want things that we like to have. But you see, God supplies our needs, folks. And that's what it's talking about here. None of us go without those things that we need. He supplies personally. He supplies perfectly. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Notice this, all your needs. And it's not by John Henry's riches. It's not by Pastor Ennis's riches. It's not by somebody else's riches. It's by His riches. So therefore, there's nothing that we could ever need in our life that God's not going to supply. Because He loves us. He's our Lord. He's our shepherd. The shepherd always takes care of the sheep, folks. That's his thing. That's what He does. And He is our Lord. He is our shepherd. Let me ask you something. Have you experienced God's presence in such a way that you understand Him as being your Lord, and being your supplier, being the one who saves you, supplies for you? But we do. We experience His presence, first off, as salvation. But then we experience His presence in success, too, folks. Like I said, this is not about being in the funeral home. We got to get that out of our mindset. I know that happens to us. We hear verses spoke at a certain time or preached at a certain time. We think that's just for when it's necessary. But this psalm is necessary every day. Every part of God's Word is for us every day. It's not just for certain occasions and special occasions. Sad thing is, most times we go to Luke chapter 2 as Christmas. Right? Or we go to the crucifixions at Easter. These are things that should be daily on our mind, that our Lord came to this earth and died for us, and that He is our God and He loves us. We need to look at this chapter only for comfort in times of loss. You see, God needs to be a part of our good times too, folks. You know, it breaks my heart. We live out there near Jordan Lake, and we have people come to church when things are going bad, but as soon as things get going good, we'll see them go by carrying their boat. Things are going well. They don't need God in their life. Sadly, a lot of people come to this church are the same way. They need God just for a certain amount of time. But listen, when things are going good, God needs to be a part of it. He needs to be praised. He needs to be thanked for what He's done and what He is doing. When we get that job, we need to praise God. When we're on that mountaintop, God's presence should be known in all parts of our life. We shouldn't be close to God just when things are going bad, folks. We need to be close to God all the time. And you see, that's what God wants. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross and rise again just so that when we had a bad day that we could call out to Him. He died on the cross and rose again so that we might have a better life, life more abundantly. Now, a lot of people take that and say, well, that means you get more money. Let me tell you something. Paul had an abundant life. He was in jail a lot. He was beat a lot. Abundance doesn't just mean wealth, folks. Sometimes we have to go through the hard things in life. But His daily presence, it comforts us. Look at this chapter again, verse 2. Verse 2 and 3. First part of verse 2 and first part of verse 3. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. His presence brings peace to the weary. His presence brings peace to the heavy-hearted. His presence, it brings peace to the downtrodden. But guess what? It also brings peace and joy and comfort to those who things are going good for them. Because you see, you're either in the valley or coming out of the valley, or you're headed for the valley. That's how our life is. None of us are on the mountaintops very long. If you've ever been to the mountains, you will understand that the top of the mountain is a very small space. The biggest part is going down and getting into the valley and then coming back up. And that's where we spend most of our life. And that's where we need God, right? But we also need God when we get to the top, folks. Because you know why? You're getting ready to go back down again. You know, we shouldn't just go to God in those times when things are going bad for us. His presence, it restores us daily, not just in bereavement. And that's what these verses are talking about. I'm thankful for daily restoration with Christ. I'm thankful that every day can be a new day with God. It says here, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. That's a sign of peace, folks. There's nothing going on. Nothing better than that. He restoreth my soul. His daily presence, walking with God daily, folks, it restores us. It refreshes us. It comforts us.
But his daily guidance conforms us. Those verses go on to say, he leadeth me beside still waters. And then the second part of verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us to the still waters, not to the rough waters. You see, by walking with him, it is his peace that we experience. You know, I don't know about you, but this world doesn't have a lot of peace to offer to us. Our present administration has no peace to offer to us. If you are looking to the government for help, you're looking in the wrong place. You see, God has set it up in such a way that we are supposed to take care of one another. You understand that? Do you understand that when we are obedient to God and we walk with God, and that we will see the needs of the people in the church and we'll meet those needs? And you see, when we are a blessing to God and blessing to those in the church, we become a blessing to those in the community. You see, everywhere you look in the Bible where the children of Israel were, the people were blessed. When they were following God, God blessed the people that they came into contact with. If you look through the Bible, you'll find that. When they went in different places and those people accepted them and let them come to where they were, then people got blessed by that. But you see, God's not going to bless disobedience, is he? He's only going to bless obedience. And you can't be in obedience with God if you're not walking with God daily. We have to seek God's face, walk with God daily. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The more often we walk with him, the closer we will resemble him. Too many Christians today walk around like they've been beat up. They're sad. And listen, the choir can vouch for me. They look out here in the crowd and they see people like, this is the worst place they've ever been to. Some of the choir members are gone. Yeah. That's not what it's supposed to be. This is God's house. This is our place of refuge. This is where we have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. This is where God's word is broken for us and we get to hear from God and get to hear the word of God preached. When we come in here, we should be on top of the world. We should be on fire waiting for something to happen. Listen, we should be expecting something from God every time we come into his house. Pastor Ennis said a long time ago, not everybody needs everything I have to say, but all of us need something that I have to say. And that's very true. You don't know who you're going to run to this week. You don't know who God's going to put in front of you this week. And I pray that you'll use the message that Pastor Ennis gave to you this morning, or use the message that God's given to you tonight through his word here in Psalm 23 to maybe be a comfort to somebody. You say, oh, this is Psalm 23. I've heard it. I don't need to hear this message. That's what's wrong with Christians today. The pastor starts talking about the cross, and we turn them off. We've heard that before. I think every day we need a fresh view of the cross, what Christ went through. That's what we need every day in our life. If we could get that, we could experience what I'm trying to talk to you about tonight. Get an understanding that God wants to be with us at all times. Let me ask you something. Are you experiencing his daily presence? Do you know he's walking with you? Do you hear that still small voice talking to you? Are you looking for it? Are you listening for it? You know, what's happening in your life, folks? I don't know what you're going through. You know, I don't need to know what you're going through. But I want you to understand God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. And he says, all you got to do is call out to me. Seek my face. Seek after me. So you see, we experience the Lord as salvation. We experience his presence in times of success, and we should experience his presence in times of sorrow, no doubt. No doubt, because sorrow is what brought me to this psalm when we were going through what we were going through. And this psalm has been a place of refuge for many of you, I know. But look what it says in verses 4 and 5. It says here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you understand? He's still talking about the Lord. He's saying, I'm not going to fear anything because you're with me, God. It is your rod, it is your staff that comforts me. Thou, that's God, the Lord, prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Do you see throughout this psalm, David is pointing to God. Everything about our life needs a point to God. Everything about the church needs a point to God. I'm very particular about all the groups that we have in our church. That before they do anything or anything happens, God's word has to be open. A devotion has to take place. Because we don't get youth together to go eat pizza just to go eat pizza. They have to hear from God. They have to hear from God's word. Our ladies, when they get together, there has to be a devotion. God's word has to be open. When our men get together, these are the types of things that we do. And I know that's what y'all do here too. You know why? Because it's important that we don't put the cart before the horse. It has to be about God. Everything we do has to be about Him. And that's what this psalm is all about, God. We know that he's talking about things he's going through, but it's always pointing back to God. This is a psalm that has comforted many sick people, many hurting people. It has been a resting place for many people. But to the Christians, let us not forget, when we fear, he protects. Do you see what it says there in verse 4? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art my rod, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think about that. When we are in fear, he protects. Because guess what? There will be fear in your life. There will be times of evil in your life because we live in an evil time. There will be times of temptation in your life. But in those times of fear and evil and temptation, God is close, is as close as a prayer. He's right there. You know, when God is watching us, and I believe when he's watching us and he sees us at that crossroads, are we going to do right or are we going to do wrong? I think at that time he leans down just a little bit closer, waiting to hear us just say something to him, to call out to him. But too often we say, we can do this on our own, and we go the wrong path. God is ever ready to be there for us, to protect us from temptation. There is no temptation taking you, but it's such as common with man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with each temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. There's always a way of escape. And maybe it's hanging up that phone if you like to gossip. Maybe it's avoiding that person who likes to bring you the latest news. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's turning that channel that you're watching on TV. Change that radio station. Or not stopping at that place of business that you don't need to stop at. God always has a way of escape for us. David was given a way of escape, wasn't he? He said, that's another man's wife. It didn't matter, though. Listen, God is always going to give us an escape route. Thy rod and staff, it says there. That's a picture of God surrounding us. You know, got the rod in one hand, the staff in the other. Think about what the Bible tells us. It says there that he sets the table before us, right? And things are going to follow us. It says at the end, his goodness will follow us forever. It's a picture of God surrounding you. He's on both sides. He's in front. He's behind. We know that we stand on the solid rock of Christ. We know that he gives his angels charge over us. This psalmist tells us that no matter where we are, what we're going through, God is always there. He's always got us in his hands like this. Don't you understand that God is always with you, always taking care of you? But do we ever realize it? I think sometimes we forget. Now, it's interesting. We think about the rod. That's most of the time it's used as a weapon or some kind of defense type of tool. Or it's used for discipline. You know, when the sheep gets out of hand, he whacks them with it. You know, sometimes God whacks us every now and then. I don't know about you, but it's never fun to go to the woodshed with God. If you get out of line with God and you get disobedient to God, God will let you go so far, and then he's going to chastise you. And listen, you don't want to be in chastisement with God. You don't want to be in that place, but God will do that if he has to. But let me tell you something. Even in times of chastisement, we can find comfort in God, knowing that we are his. Because you know what? He doesn't chastise those who aren't his. And if we're not feeling the chastisement of the Lord, then perhaps we're, as the Bible calls, bastards, right? But understand, God loves us. And he loves us so much, he's not going to let us just wander off in sin and be happy with it. He's going to use his rod to tap us on the head if he has to. And the staff, of course, we know was used to pull sheep up as a thing of comfort. A sheep would fall into a ditch. The shepherd would use that to pull the sheep out of the ditch. Falls into the waters, he'd use that to pull them out of the water before it would drown. What I'm trying to say to you is God will use his rod and the staff to comfort us. There is comfort, folks, in the Lord, even if we're in chastisement. When we fear, he protects. But verse 5 tells us, when we faint, he prepares. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This is a great picture of assurance and deliverance. This verse here can be preached by itself on the basis of assurance and deliverance. Because God is the one who anoints us. God is the one who takes care of us. Aren't you glad that when, if you were here when you got saved and Pastor Ennis baptized you, he wasn't the one sealing your fate to go to heaven? Because he's just a man. I sure am glad that, you know, a priest, because I was Catholic, I wasn't Catholic, let me rephrase that. When I was born, my mom was Catholic, and when I was an infant, she had me christened. I'm glad that priest wasn't the one who made sure I was going to heaven. It is God who anoints us. It is God who sets a seal upon us. It is God who has said, this is it, this is my child. He's the one who's taking care of us and making sure that all our needs are met. When we feel outnumbered, God is there. When we feel like we can't go on, God is there. When we feel like we're at the end of the rope, God is there. He is there to take care of us. God prepares our hearts for each moment if we will just trust and rely on Him. You know, when I'm with people and at the hospital, we get ready to have surgery, we always ask that God's will be done. Because we don't know what God's will is at this moment for this person getting ready to go through surgery. But I always add to that, that God would give us hearts to receive His will. Because God's will isn't always to preserve life. God's will isn't always to let you have that job or to go into that ministry or to go into that mission field. We have to have a heart that is so in tune with God, and we do that by walking in obedience, and we do that by having a daily walk with God and feeling God's presence and being in God's presence daily. Then God speaks to us and guides us. Let me tell you something. You know what? You will never pray for, if you are walking with God and you are in the right relationship with God you're supposed to be in, you will never pray for anything outside the will of God. Do you realize that? You will never pray for anything outside the will of God because you already know where God has you going, what God wants you to do, and God's going to take care of you. You know, you're just trusting Him. Have you truly experienced the presence of God in your life, folks? Listen, some of us are just getting by. Some of us are just doing the best that we can, treading water. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross so that we would tread water. He didn't die on the cross so that we could just make it from Sunday to Sunday. He died on the cross so that we could live a life that would be pleasing to Him. And that He would have a part of our life. Not just a salvation part. He wants to be a part of your everyday life. He wants to be in that Bible reading time. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, are guilty of, well, it's time to go to bed, but I got to get some Bible reading. Let me read real quick. I know I'm supposed to read, so let me go ahead and read. Reading out of have to instead of need to. Listen, do you realize something? Let me tell you something. You don't have to pray. You get to pray. You realize that? You don't have to read God's Word. You get to read God's Word. You don't. We have this idea that we have to do. No, we don't have to do anything. But God has loved us so much that He has given us His Word. He has given us His Spirit. He has given us salvation. And we are our privilege. We should be feel privileged that we get the opportunity to come into His presence and to pray to Him and talk to Him and hear from Him. But too often we find that we get too busy for God. If we get too busy for God, folks, we're just too busy. Finally, we experience His presence eternally. And we find that in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I want you to notice something. I'm keeping this present tense because eternal life is a present possession. See, here's where our Free Will Baptist friends fall off, folks. Okay? And I'm not trying to run them down. I'm not. Listen, some of y'all, you live close to 95. Once you get to the other side of 95, it's all Free Will Baptist, basically. All right? You know some Free Will Baptists. Back there in the back row, I know y'all know some Free Will Baptists. Here's where they miss it. They miss grace. They don't understand grace, number one. They're trying to maintain something. Okay? It's not by works that we've done. Okay? It's a present possession. The Bible says that we can know that we have eternal life. Not that we're going to have it. We have it. Right? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Let me tell you something. I am not going to be saved. I am not hoping to be saved one day. I am saved. I am born again, washed in the blood of Christ, and I know that no matter what happens, no matter how stupid I get, okay, because we get stupid, God's never going to throw me in the way. He's never going to say, well, you went too far. you lost it. And never can I say, you know what, I don't want it anymore. You go to chapter 8 of Romans, you'll find that it tells you that. And bring your free will Baptist brethren there and show them. Look at where it says right here in chapter 8. Neither life nor death. You know what that life means? That means anything I do in this life can separate me from God. There's nothing that I can do to separate me from the love of God. There's nothing that can take your salvation. I am saved. And if you're born again tonight, you should find courage and comfort knowing that God is your shepherd. You shall not want. You are saved. You're born again. You have a place prepared for you in heaven. His goodness, we see, it provides for us daily. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, surely, we don't always have a good day all the time. Sometimes we have bad days. Sometimes we get a bad phone call that we don't want to hear. Sometimes the doctor says, you have cancer. Right? Those aren't good days. But you know what? They're just days. Compared to what eternity has in store for us. You see, goodness is going to follow, folks. Always, God has always got something good for us. On the good days as well as the bad days, goodness and mercy can be found. It tells us in the Bible, when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. That means even when life gets so bad that mom and dad turn their backs on you, God's going to be there. He's going to take care of you. Now, you know, I don't know if, I'm hoping that you're getting what I'm trying to say to you tonight. Hope that you understand what I'm trying to convey to you is that if you're one of God's children, you're never alone. You're never alone. He's always watching out for you. He's always taking care of you. He's always making sure that you have what you need. His goodness provides daily. His grace provides eternally. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think about that. That song they sung tonight, wish you were here. Right? What does the Bible say? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Listen, folks. When you leave this earth, as a child of God, you go directly into the presence of Jesus Christ. And you will always be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Always in the presence of God. But if you're not a child of God and you die before you receive Christ as your Savior, you're going to be separated from God. You're going to go to a devil's hell. And you're going to be there for some extended period of time. All right? I don't know how long. You know, but if the rapture happens tomorrow, you'll be there for 1,007 years and a day. Or whatever it is, whatever it equals out to. All right? But that's where you're going to be, only to be resurrected, to stand before God, the great white throne judgment, to be found guilty as charged. You're going to have no way to try to convince God that it's okay for you to get into heaven, and he is going to cast you into the lake of fire forever. But you know what I love about this psalm? I love this whole psalm. I love that the Lord is my shepherd. I love what he does for us. But I have to tell you, I love these two words that we find there. I will. You should circle that in your Bible, folks. I will. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not that I might, not hopefully I will be able to, because you know a lot of people who sit in churches every Sunday when the pastor gives a message are hoping that they're going to go to heaven. They are convinced that their baptism has sealed their faith that they're going to heaven, that their church membership is getting them to heaven. But yet in the back of their mind they're doubting, well, I don't know if I'm really saved. You know, did I? You know, I've had people come to me and say, you know, I'm not sure I'm saved because when I said the prayer, I don't know if I said it right. I don't know if I said it in the right order. Let me tell you something. God doesn't care about the words. He cares about your heart. And if you come to God for salvation, you can't even get the words out, but your heart is speaking to him. He's hearing you, folks. That's how good our God is. He loves us. We are his. Not that I might, not that I hopefully will, but I will. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. There's a verse for you. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. You see, there is no, you might have it, or you hopefully you'll get it. Or if you're one of the select few, you're going to get it. It says, no, if you believe, you will have it. If we put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you experiencing God in the way that he longs for you to experience him, folks? Or are you missing out? I think a lot of us walk around with our lips dragging on the carpet are missing out. We don't realize how good we got it. We don't realize what has been accomplished for us. Think about it like this. He shares his life with us, gave his life for us, and puts his life in us. We never walk alone. He is always with us, ever beside us. How great is our God? Christians, God gave himself so that we might experience him personally. How's your walk? How's your walk with God? Do you know for certain that you're going to heaven? God wants you to experience his love. Therefore, he sent Jesus to take your place and to redeem you to God. You know, there's a great word that we find in, it says that we can be justified. Justification. Do you know what justification means? We often hear the preacher say, or somebody say, just as if I didn't do anything. But do you know what? It's more than that. It's more than that. Justification means that when God looks at us, he no longer sees us. He sees Jesus Christ. And guess what? Jesus Christ never sinned. Couldn't sin, wouldn't sin if he could. Never sinned. So you see, when you become a child of God and believe on Jesus Christ and you're saved, God looks at you as you've never sinned ever in your life. How good is God, folks? How good is it? Do you know you're going to heaven today? Do you really know? Or are you hoping you're going to heaven? I know one thing for certain. None of y'all want to go to hell because you're here tonight. Some of y'all are hoping you're not going to go there. Some of you are sure you're never going to go there. Praise God for that. But it's very simple. Put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he did. That's what it's all about, folks. It's a free gift. You don't deserve it. You don't buy it. Listen, when people give you gifts, they give it to you because they love it. Right? A lot of people, God's giving you a gift that's still sitting on the shelf. Right? It's just sitting up there on the shelf. If I give my wife a gift for our anniversary the other month, and she takes it and she puts it on the shelf and never opens it, it does her no good. And if I take it down and bring it back to the store, she can't complain about it. Because she never took it when it was there for her to take it. It is a gift. You don't buy a gift. You don't deserve a gift. It is a gift because somebody loves you. God gives us that gift. That gift is Jesus Christ. But you see, you know what? The Bible tells us that we're sinners and we deserve to go to hell. Do you realize that every one of us are in the same boat? We're all sinners, right? We all deserve to go to hell. But you know what? What is sin? If I were to ask these young people what sin is, I would get different answers. That's when you lie. That's when you cheat. That's when you kill somebody. Let me tell you something. A sin is when you do what you're not supposed to do, or when you don't do what you're supposed to do. You can have sin of thought, sin of attitude. Right? Now listen, think about something real quick. Let me give you a quick illustration. I don't know how many times I sin in a day. But imagine if I sin just three times. One bad thought, one bad look, one bad word. Pretty good person, right? But over a year, after a year of time, over 1,000 sins. If I live to be as old as Pastor Ennis, that's a lot of sin. That's a lot of sin, right? Imagine there are traffic tickets. If I went to the courthouse in Raleigh with 70,000 traffic tickets, what would they do to me? It's a serious problem now. Now we've got a problem. That's not a lot of tickets. See, that's what sin is, but you know what? We can't save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. No matter what we do, we can't do it. Do you realize that if you said, you know what, I'm never going to sin again from today forward, and you were able to do that, you would still go to hell for your past transgressions. You see, God's given us a gift of eternal life, but we're sinners. And the Bible tells us that God loves us, but God can't allow sin in his presence. It also tells us that God is going to punish sin. So you and I have a problem. God fixed the problem in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus wasn't just some good person. He wasn't just some guy who knew talk a long time ago. Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. He's God. In the flesh. He dwelt among us, right? Is that what the Bible tells us? Jesus Christ is God. And one day he went to the cross and he died there for us. He was nailed there on the cross. Now let me give you a little illustration real quick. I promise this is it. Imagine that I hate to use the Bible. This Bible is my life. Front is my birth certificate, back is my death certificate, in the middle is everything I've ever said and done. about something real quick before we get there. Imagine, remember when Adam was in the garden, him and God walked like this? Can you imagine that, brother Ernest? Walking with God like that? I thought about that this morning. What happened to Adam? What he went through after that split there. Can you imagine that? He was like that, him and God. But then he sinned, and sin was laid upon him. And now here I am. And now my sin's laid upon me. So that ain't it. And before I came to Christ for salvation, I did what many people do. I tried to turn my life around. But God was over here, my sin's sitting right here. And I said, well, I don't know what I'll do, I'll turn over a new leaf. Sin's still sitting on top of me. God's still over here. But you see, Jesus Christ took my sin, nailed it to the cross. And when Jesus said it is finished, it was finished. When they put him in the grave, he came out 3 days later. You see, God says that we can have eternal life if we'll put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done. If you're trusting in something else other than Christ tonight, listen, you need to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Christians, if you're not walking with God like he wants you to walk with him, it's nobody's fault but your own. It bothers me when I hear people say to me, I wish I could be the Christian that so-and-so is. They're such a good Christian. Look at their walk. I wish I could be that like that. You can be. You just choose not to be. You got to ask yourself, do I really want to be